One of the blessings I did not expect when I became bishop was the joy that I would experience standing at the baptismal font when someone is baptized. I came to the office of bishop after teaching in the seminary for 13 years. And while over the years I threw a lot of water to help people remember baptisms, there really aren't a lot of unbaptized people in ELCA seminaries. So I really cannot remember the last time I baptized someone. So I am thrilled to be here today to stand at the font as Elijah's baptized and God bestows wonderful blessings on him when God does amazing things for Elijah and for all of us by water and God's word. What are those wonderful blessings? What are those amazing things? Martin Luther tells us that through baptism, God brings the forgiveness of sins. God washes away sin, and God gives the Holy Spirit and raises us to eternal life. Jesus does this by joining us to his own death and resurrection. And so our sinful, selfish selves are drowned in the water. We come up gasping in the breath of the Holy Spirit, and we emerge from the water as heirs of God's promise and as disciples of the Lord Jesus. And if this is sounding a bit too much like confirmation class, I agree. So here it is, the way Matthew would tell it. In baptism, Jesus makes us salt and light. In baptism, Jesus makes us salt and light. Jesus makes us salt of the earth and light for the world. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Notice Jesus doesn't say, you should be the salt of the earth. Jesus doesn't say, you ought to be the light of the world. Jesus doesn't say, you are called to be salt and light. Jesus says, you are. You are. You are salt, you are light. And so in older baptismal ceremonies, as candidates for baptism went to the water, they were given a mouthful of salt, a practice that has fallen out of favor today. And as they came out of the water, they were given a lighted candle with the words, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven," a practice that we still do today. In baptism, Jesus makes us salt of the earth and light for the world. You are salt and light. Which, of course, begs the question, what does that mean? What does it mean to be salt? I'm thinking about the way salt enhances taste. My doctor doesn't let me eat salt anymore, and I really miss it. I'm thinking about the way salt enhances taste. And so by calling us to be salt, by making us salt, Jesus seems to be saying to us that we're, in a way, supposed to flavor the world. We're about flavoring the world. And more specifically, we elicit, we call out, we lift up goodness in the world. As salt, we elicit goodness in the world. How do we do that? Jesus told us last week in what we call the Beatitudes. We are salt. We elicit goodness in the world when we care for those who have nothing, when we comfort those who experience loss, when we strive to have integrity, when we seek to do justice, when we show mercy, when we stand up for what we believe. Then we elicit goodness. We flavor the world. I'm also mindful that salt has an edge. Ever do too much salt in cooking? I'm thinking about the time my brothers and I as kids were responsible for making breakfast, oatmeal. We mistook 3 tablespoons for 3 teaspoons. Yeah, that's oatmeal was edgy. Salt has an edge. So part of being salt of the earth means sometimes we need to be edgy. Because often, it's the edginess of salt that preserves and keeps fresh. Often it's the edge of the salt that cleans. Often it's the edge of the salt that makes us thirsty for God. We're called to be salt, to be both satisfying and edgy. To elicit goodness in the world. In other words, Jesus is inviting us. No, he's making us to share his very own life. And when we don't do that, we're not really good for anything in the kingdom of heaven, God's work in the world. And so we're as useless as salt on the roads after the spring thaw. You are the salt of the earth. And you are light for the world. You are light for the world. Craig, you're light for the world. And I answered, no, I'm not. Jesus is. I'm not light. Jesus is. And as a bishop, I can tell you, I am right. I'm not the light of the world. You're not the light of the world. Jesus is. But what happens in baptism is that God makes us light for the world. Jesus makes us light for the world in that we're part of the light of Christ's very presence in the world, which is the church. At its best, that's what the church is, the light of Christ's presence in the world. We reflect Christ's own light in the world. Light is an amazing thing. It helps us to see. It gives us color. It can be harnessed for energy. It can be focused like a laser beam. We are light in that we are part of the church, Christ's very presence in the world. Let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We say it when we present the candle at baptism, and over the years that's kind of come to mean don't be shy. If you have gifts, step forward. You do have gifts, so step forward. Humble is okay. To a point, let your light shine. And that's all true, but there's more to it than that. As part of the church, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven, because we need light to shine. Because there's darkness outside, and there's darkness within. The world can be a dark and broken place. We need the light of Christ to shine in the world. We need the church to walk through the darkness as Jesus did the cross. And let the light of Christ shine, radiating new life. Which, of course, that means we need to get out of bright places like this and find our way out into the darkened world so that Christ's light shines through us. And that can be scary. How tempting it is to say, we only have a little light. Our light won't make any difference. I've been traveling around the Synod for 6 months, and at lots of places I go, lots of congregations I go to, there are food banks. Do you have one here? They feed a few families. We don't do much, Bishop. We just feed a few families. The light's not very bright, kind of dim. It's small. I wonder what will happen, and I will do it, when I calculate all the few families that our congregations feed throughout our synod. I imagine the light will be bright. How easy it is to say we only have a little light, it's dim, doesn't make a difference. Let me tell you, the people to whom Jesus originally spoke, no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it on the under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand. These people did not have electric floodlights. Their lamps were small and dim. And yet these little lights on a lampstand gave light to all in the house. No matter how small and dim our lights, it's enough to give light to someone's house. So maybe the place to begin to let our light shine is at home. You see, we can't go out into the darkness until the light of Christ shines in the darkness that lives in our hearts. Let the light of Christ shine through the church, the darkness in your heart. We do that by remembering that we're baptized. We are salt and light. We let the light shine when we confess. When we say sometimes we have been bland and we have been dim. We let the light shine in our hearts when we come to the table. And Jesus says to us once again, given and shed for you. You remain, you are my salt and my light. Mostly, we let the light of Christ shine in our hearts when we claim and cling to those moments when we know ourselves to be what Jesus says we are, salt and light. Yeah. You are salt and light. Claim it. Then carry it to the world. To elicit good flavor. And so people will see hope. Amen.